continued interest in your prayers for myself and you as well, that we might be blessed together tonight. Can anyone guess our topic tonight? It's a topic we don't think enough about. We don't do enough of it. You can never do too much of it. Being thankful. Being thankful. And I hope that I'll get some participation from you tonight. Because being unthankful is a real problem in our world today. Not enough of thankfulness, is there? Plenty of unthankfulness. Not enough true thankfulness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, instructed him that this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we're in those perilous times, don't you? I don't think there's any doubt that we're in those perilous times. He said this know also in the last days. I know biblically we're in the last days. These last days may last another 2,000 years, but ever since the church was set up, then we have begun these last days. The next, or the only thing left on God's timetable as far as major events, is Christ coming again. I'm not waiting for Jesus to come back and sit on a throne and reign for 1,000 years. Acts chapter 2 says that God raised him up to sit on that throne. And when he raised him up, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. All right? So, I don't see any purpose. If you understand the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what God purposed for him to do when he came, what he did when he came, and now what he told us after he had rose from the dead, there is no purpose for 1,000-year reign for him to come and sit on a throne on this earth. He has saved his people from their sins. In Luke chapter 17, verse 17, I like those kind of numbers. It's easy to remember. Luke 17, of course, it's more than just 17, but verse 17. But if you'll remember, Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, right? All 10 of them. And when Jesus healed somebody, they were healed completely, instantly. And he told them to go show themselves unto the priests. And then, how many came back to thank the Lord? You've read that. You're familiar with that. No surprise. One of the 10 came back to thank the Lord. I wonder if that percentage would hold up today. 1 in 10? I kind of wonder, don't you? Well, we can't answer. We don't have any way of determining whether that percentage will hold up today. But let me just ask you this. How is it with you? Are we thankful for what God has done for us? Are we thankful for the cleansing that we received through the blood of Jesus Christ? Are we thankful for the healing that we have received from him, that ultimate healing that will be ours in heaven's pure world? Oh, bless your hearts. We may go through troubles and trials here, but when we pass the scene of this life, because of what Jesus has already done for us, we've got enough to praise him in all eternity, don't we? Like we've said many times, especially when we're going through the Psalms, if he never blessed us with another blessing, we've already got enough to praise him in all eternity for eternal life, for redemption through his blood. That's already in place. He's already done enough for us to praise him in all eternity. Well, don't wait until then. Let's get started now. Let's praise him every day for all that he does for us, all that he has done for us, and all that we hope that he will do till he comes again. All right? So, lots of scriptures that speak of pointing out the unthankfulness of many and the need for us to be more thankful today. Do you know what the opposite of being thankful is? Yeah, I'll go along with that. I think I heard it. Complaining, grumbling. Do we have any of that around us today? Do we have enough of it? Are we part of it? Can be, can't we? We need to be reminded of how good and how gracious our Lord is, how much he's blessed us with, and how we need to be thanking him on every occasion. Let me turn back to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Sometimes we cut ourselves too much slack in our behavior. Sometimes we think, well, that was warranted, without thinking about how the Lord feels about behaviors. Now, we can easily think about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and it, no doubt, very easily, we think about the many times that they grumbled and they complained. There were even times when they rebelled. But we know that happened. We have the faithful record of God's word that that happened. But it happens with us, doesn't it? I mean, we, rather than looking down our nose at the folks in the Old Testament and how they wearied the Lord, we need to consider our own case, don't we? Okay. But listen to how Numbers 11 describes this murmuring, this complaining, and how the Lord feels about it. Because like we've already said now, God, the Lord has already blessed us with more that certainly than we deserve, but enough that we can praise him into all eternity. So if he's already done that and we were to grumble and complain, what does that say about our thinking? It would say that it's too self-centered, wouldn't it? That we're considering ourselves too much. All right, Numbers 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now, I could just stop right there, couldn't I? I mean, by God's almighty power, he delivered them out of Egypt. I mean, all the plagues designed to show that the Egyptian gods were powerless, and that in every instance of what they worshipped, God showed himself strong and stronger, because they're nothing anyway, but God showed his power against all that they believed in Egypt. And he brought them out with a mighty hand. And if there's one thing that God, in the Old Testament, that God reminded his people of more than anything else, it was how he delivered them out of Egypt. Now, we weren't there. We weren't delivered out of Egypt, but we've been delivered, haven't we? And we can certainly remember his deliverance of us. But when we're not thinking about those things, we're prone to grumble and complain. All right? So when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. He always does, doesn't he? Okay? And his anger was kindled. You know, some people think that God doesn't get angry. Some people think that how could a loving God, if he's a God of love, how can he have wrath? Well, I'll tell you how he can have wrath, because it's holy wrath. He has every right to our affection. He has every right to our worship. He has every right to our adoration. And when we give it to something else, he has every right to be jealous. One of his names is jealous, isn't it? Okay? He heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. In other words, his anger came down upon them and consumed some of the children of Israel. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now they ought to have been thankful on that occasion that they had an intercessor. But tonight we can be thankful that we have an intercessor, can't we? Our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us right now on the merit of his blood. Not any merit of our own, but for his sake, we're blessed tonight. All right, so I just wanted to establish that thought and how it, Numbers 11 clearly tells us that when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Does the Lord change? Do you think that when we complain today that it would displease the Lord? Certainly does. So we need to remember. Now that doesn't mean that, circumstances are at times are going to be difficult. Life sometimes gets hard. But all the more reason for us to look to the mercy and the grace and the goodness of our God. Trust in God. That's right. Trust him and look to him to help us get through those difficult times without murmuring and complaining. Can we do that? Oh, I know it's going to pop out sometime. It's going to rear its ugly head sometime. But we need to remember, don't we? We need to be thinking about the Lord's goodness and mercy upon us to help us to look to him and trust him for the things that we stand in need of. The first in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I won't take the time to go read, but some of those, we're reminded of some of those events like I just read to you from Numbers 11. Paul reminded us of those things, and it says those were examples for us that we'd learn from it. And so if you're reading your Old Testament and you read through those times and you see how God dealt with them, then it should remind us that we need to be remembering God's goodness and mercy and not complain about those things. All right? The very nature of thankfulness. We've talked about how that there's a lot of unthankfulness, how that God is displeased when we grumble and complain. But the very nature of unthankfulness is a turning away or evidence that there has been a turning away from God. He's given us so much. He's provided so much for us each day. If we're not thinking about his goodness and mercy, if we've got our mind so much on our own little world, then it shows that we've turned away from thinking about God and we're thinking too much of ourselves. So we need to be careful about that, all right? Because when you turn away from God and you have too much attention upon yourself, then that selfishness just grows. It feeds upon itself, doesn't it? Okay. And it's rooted in pride. rooted in pride. And if it's not checked, if you're not careful, if we're not walking humbly before our God, we get lifted up in pride, don't we? Start thinking too highly of ourselves. Paul warned us in the book of Romans not to think more highly, in Romans chapter 12, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to think soberly, righteously. See, just like when we've been talking about the armor of God, so much of this is in our thoughts, isn't it? Not that it's imaginary, but what we put into our mind, what we set our mind upon, what we set our heart upon, has a great deal of bearing on how we follow the Lord or not. I pick on King Nebuchadnezzar a lot. If you listen to, especially when we get to this idea of being lifted up in pride. If you remember King Nebuchadnezzar, he certainly got lifted up, didn't he? Even though he was already warned, Daniel had interpreted some dreams and told him this was going to happen. It happened anyway. And he got lifted up in pride. Daniel chapter 4. I don't want to read too much here, but in dealing with this idea of being lifted up in pride and not being thankful, if you remember the experience where, well, let me just read a little bit. Daniel had told him in the interpretation of a dream, I'm in Daniel chapter 4, verse 24, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Now, apart from Nebuchadnezzar right now, that thought that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, that is a very sobering thought for us tonight. Could it be that those ruling over us right now are judgment upon us as a nation? I think it has to be. Now, still, God gives it to whomsoever he will. All right? King's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God's still in control. But what we see in this nation, at least, I have to believe that it's the hand of judgment upon us. Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up in pride, even though he had been warned sufficiently. Because when it says, "and that they shall drive thee from men," he's talking about his pride, causing him to be lifted up. All right. Let me see. I hate to skip over in some of this, but it's a lot of reading here. Verse 29. "At the end of 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon?" Remember now, he had been warned about not being lifted up in pride. But listen to what he says. "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" He didn't listen to the warning, did he?
The one we got now don't listen to the one either.
No. And then verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth." Now, God can judge quickly, can't he? And certainly. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And all of what I just read to you about what would happen to him came upon him. He was deranged for a period of time. He was like a beast of the field. All right? Verse 34. And at the end of the days, all right, eventually Nebuchadnezzar was blessed to come back to his senses. All right? And it says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And, now what was he saying before this? This great Babylon that I built by my power for the glory of my majesty. Now what he's saying is, and I bless the Most High God. God knows how to bring down those that are in pride. All right. I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, What doest thou? God brought him down, didn't he? And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. But he's singing a different tune now. Now he's acknowledging the Lord. Now he's praising God and not himself. And then he says, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. But you get somebody walking in pride, they're not thankful. They're not merciful. They're selfish. They're looking after themselves and trying to do what they can for themselves. Now, why should we be thankful? I know you know the answer to that, but I want you to think about it. Why should we be thankful? Anybody want to venture? Right. That's right. So for his mercy and his grace and his abundant provisions for us, it's just right that we should be thankful to God for all that he's already done for us. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will. He's already taken care of the blessings. He's already blessed. Somebody might say, well, preacher, you don't know my life. Well, if you know the Lord, if you know what Jesus has done for you, you may be going through some terrible trials, but bless your heart, it's better farther on. What we've got to look forward to after the troubles and trials of this life are over, bless your hearts, we won't even remember this place, will we? I don't see any indication. I've studied that because folks from time to time ask questions about heaven and will we know each other there and will we remember all the things we did here, and a lot of folks seem to think that we'll have the same relationships that we have here on this earth. And a lot of those things are just the ideas of people, and they're not substantiated with the Scriptures. But I do know this. We will know that we are redeemed. We'll know that we've been delivered from hell, because we'll be praising Him for that redemption and for that deliverance into all eternity. Now, how much of what we remember, it doesn't seem consistent with Scripture that we would remember these things, because there'll be no tears, there'll be no heartaches, there'll be no crying. And
it's kind of hard to imagine that in this world, though, ain't it?
That's right, because that's not the way it is here. Never has been. Never will be here. But oh, up yonder, it's going to be altogether lovely, isn't it? It's hard for us to fathom, like you said. Bless your hearts, that's the promise that we have from our God, who is able to supply and to do according to his promises. All right? So if we think about all that the Lord has already done for us, that's why we ought to be thankful. We've got plenty to thank the Lord for. Every day we live, if we're blessed to know him and to understand that he sent his son to die in our room instead to save us from hell, and bless your hearts, we've got something to be thankful for. Our circumstances may not be good. Our health may not be good. Our prospects of employment or whatever might not be good. I mean, this is all kinds of things that people are faced with right now. But if you know the Lord, and if you know what Jesus has done for us, we've got something that we can thank him for every breath we take. How often should we thank the Lord? The Bible says continually. Continually. Oh, that's really convicting for me. I feel like I have a thankful heart, but I don't move this tongue enough in praise to God. We should. I hope we can get better. We ought to strive to do better, because he's worthy of it. He's worth every note of praise that we could ever generate in adoration to him. Hebrews 13:15. Let me get a couple of these verses that use. Hebrews 13, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 15, Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's good already, isn't it? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, he calls it a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they had to take a lamb from their flock. They had to take a bullock or a ram or whatever the particular offering was to be, then they were prescribed what they were to offer and how they were to offer it. It cost them something to worship God like they should. How much does it cost you to move your lips in praise? Does it cost you anything?
No.
Careful. If you're lifted up in pride, you're not willing to spend that in praise to him. You've got to humble yourself before God to praise him like you should. The proud he knoweth afar off. He's nigh unto us. That's right. So, what it costs us is to humble ourselves and approach him as we should and acknowledge him as the God that he is. So many people want to worship the God that they want. That amounts to idolatry, doesn't it? If their view of what they want is not biblical, that's idolatry. But when we approach him as he is, holy, righteous, good, merciful, kind, gracious, all those attributes that he is, and every one of them are holy, holy attributes. We humble ourselves before our great God and thank Him for all that He has done and all that we hope that He will continue to do. It costs us our pride. We have to humble ourselves before Him. All right, so let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, he says. Continually. Well, I'm afraid we come short a lot of times, don't we? Okay. But that's the mark. That's what we strive for. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips. He didn't leave us to guess what we're to sacrifice. The fruit of our lips. Now, if it's going to be fruit that's being offered to God, it needs to be good fruit, doesn't it? You know, when Paul would distinguish between the works of the flesh, he called it works, and the work of the Spirit, he calls the fruit. Praise is sweet to the Lord. So, that is the sacrifice, he says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When we're giving thanks to His name, that's the fruit of our lips. That's the sacrifice of praise. Oh, may God help us that we do it more and more. Very similar thought you find in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll just kind of hurry through some of these. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Let me go back to verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's how we ought to go about our day, shouldn't we? Singing and making melody unto the Lord. Then he says, giving thanks always for all things. Now that's a thought that some folks can't quite wrap their arms around. Giving thanks for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Not everything is enjoyable. Not everything we want to thank God for. But if we are blessed to know Him and blessed to understand what He's done for us, like we've said several times already tonight, we can still give thanks always to God. I believe it's Colossians. He speaks of in everything give thanks. In everything. There's not a time, there's not a circumstance in life that we don't still have something to thank God for. If we'd shape our thinking in that direction, that we've always got something to thank God for. Now, if life is hard, then we're asking Him for strength. We're asking Him for wisdom. We're asking Him for help. We're asking Him for deliverance. But all the while, we've still got plenty to thank Him for when we're praying unto Him. To kind of sum this up, kind of think about some of the benefits of being thankful. It'll bless your day, won't it? In those times when you're mindful of your blessings, you're mindful of the goodness of the Lord, you're mindful of the mercy of God, you feel like you've been delivered from some situation, your heart just sings, doesn't it? What a blessing. And I'm telling you, you need to spend that time in praise and adoration to the Lord. So it checks bitterness and complaining. We talked about a little bit of that earlier, how that complaining is displeasing to the Lord. You know, if we get in that kind of an attitude of complaining, then in effect what we're saying is, I deserve better than this. Isn't that what we're saying when we're complaining? We should be saying, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need wisdom. I need whatever it is I need. We know that the Lord can supply that need. So it helps us to keep bitterness and complaining in check. It helps our attitude. Reminds us God is able to deliver. He's able to supply. He's able to provide. Whatever it is we need, God is able to do that. All right. It also gives us an idea of our spiritual maturity. The more we're able to hang on and trust Him. You know, it's those difficult times in life that strengthens us, doesn't it? You know, I think we've said a number of times, if we never had any problems, we would be so spoiled. I mean, God's already been good and gracious to us in so many ways. But those difficult times help us to remember the Lord, to remember our need of Him, to remember our weakness. And as we grow in that experience, we mature more in the Lord. It helps us against all manner of unhappiness, depression. I said it helps. I know that there's some mighty good folks that have struggled an awful lot with depression. But the best remedy I know, and I realize that, you know, this is a very difficult subject because some folks have been through an awful lot in terms of depression and the help that they've needed to adjust and so forth. But in general, the best help I know against feeling depressed, feeling down, is to think on the Lord.
Think positive.
Set your mind and your heart's affection on the Lord. That's the best help, the best medicine we can have. We all need it. We all go through difficult situations or times in life where there just doesn't seem to be much happiness or whatever. But to me, that should be an indication that we need to think more about the Lord. More of His goodness, more of His love, more of His mercy. You start thinking about those kind of things, it will help you. May not change your circumstances, but it'll help you to be strengthened to where you can deal with them in a better frame of mind. It'll help us. We remember, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. If we can remember that He's given us the victory, that He sent His Son to this world to save us from our sins. Jesus fought that battle and He won. Just like reading the book of Revelation, there's a lot of symbolism throughout the book of Revelation that we may never really understand, but we know this. We know the message is, in the end, Jesus wins. And all the foes of this world that come out against Him, as soon as He arrives, it's over. There's no long battle. He's already fought the greatest battle that ever has been fought or ever will be fought, and that was on Calvary when He secured our salvation. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, if you remember that, it'll help you as you go through this life. All right, one more. A general scripture, Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. I'm sure a lot of what I've said tonight is simply to stir up your mind, to think about the need for thankfulness, to think about the need to humble ourselves before our God, to think about how we should worship Him, how we should thank Him continually. Paul gives us in Colossians 3:15, this verse is just a really good prescription for living every day in this world. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's ruling in your heart? Is it selfish things? Or is it set upon the Lord? He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Think about that for just a moment. There's more to the verse, but think about it. When he says, let the peace of God rule, that word carries with it the idea of what we would see commonly as an umpire. An umpire that over a game, officiating over a game, and when something's not right, they throw a flag or blow a whistle or something, point it out. Stop the game. Fix the problem. Bless your hearts, when we think about God's grace, His mercy, His blessings, when we think about all that God has done for us, shouldn't that shape and control our thinking? That we can keep our mind and our heart set upon Him. I know we've got responsibilities in this world. We've got things that we have to take care of. But bless your hearts, we can go about it with a Christian demeanor. We can go about it with a thankful heart. We can go about it with a prayer upon our lips. We can go about it thinking about the good of others and asking God to help us and help them and to be a blessing and try ourselves to be a blessing to others. That's because we have peace with God. And we can live in that peace. We can enjoy that peace every day. And that peace can control our behavior so that we can walk. All right, so he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. This is not just to the individual now. This is to the church. All of us collectively living together, loving one another, and trying to live in a way that we should to the glory of God. After all, the church is the bride of Christ. The bride wants to please her husband when we're doing what we should. All right, so he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. It will help you, brethren, to more often remember God's mercy and grace and blessings upon us, to remember God's greatness, and to remember how much mercy it took to reach down to where we were and lift us up. Remember that. It'll help you to be more thankful. And thankfulness is what pleases the Lord. Being thankful. Being thankful. Anybody want to say anything about what you're thankful for tonight? Amen. Leslie?
I'm thankful for obviously mercy and grace, because we would be nowhere without that. But like Brother Jim said, I'm thankful for long suffering, because I know this stuff is long.
Amen. Brother?
Later on down the road, I don't know where I'd be, and that
right. You with us? Steve?
We are so blessed by God, we can't even name it all, but the thing that I guess comes to my mind so much is that He blesses us to know that we're not alone. And I think that sometimes when we go through day by day trials and tribulations, sometimes we get it in our mind that no one cares and we're all alone. But God will take me. Where is it in the Bible? It says, "If I make my bed in hell, Thou art there."
Psalm 139.
Right. And that right there alone can just, when you know that you're not alone and that He knows everything that you're doing, He's with you every step that you make, right or wrong. That's where that long suffering creeps in.
Mm-hmm.
But His blessings extends far beyond even to the job, even to every little thing or big thing that we do. But when He shows Himself to you, then it enables you to endure everything else, you know. But His grace and His mercy, His compassion, His only begotten darn Son, His long suffering. I even thank Him for His chastisement and pray that won't never go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank Him for this church family that's everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to, I love the house of the Lord, I love that song, to come to the house of the Lord, and that we can just shut that door for just whatever little time that it may be. Because in my mind, I'm shutting the world out if it's just for a couple of hours, and just feel the love flowing from breast to breast in this body of members that we have, and that we can sing praises to God and hear His word preached in truth and in power. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't. That's riches to me right there, you know, that we can have this family right here, that we're aware of pain and reach out, and it just it's beyond. There aren't words to really express it, but His I think of Habakkuk, you know, if the fig tree doesn't, I will, like you just got through saying, you can praise God in the worst circumstances ever. And what is so precious to me is that human part, because this happened not too long ago, I had a lot on my mind, and I thought, but if you focus on all of His word, because His promise is right here in this word, it will go, your troubles will leave you. It'll be just for a little while, but it works. it works. But oh yeah, it's our earthly family that God has given us that I thank Him for. I thank Him for this precious granddaughter that He's blessed. God, I'm getting hurt. But oh my goodness, when He blesses you beyond measure that you know. And when you just it's only because He's there with us to the end. We're not there as we should be, but God is there to the end.
Amen.
We blame most of our troubles on ourselves, but we're a lot of them. Most of them is a ballast, and then when the Lord gets on us with that chastisement for doing what we know not to do, He can make us get on our knees and ask for forgiveness, because I've been there lots of times in my life when I thought maybe I had the world by the tail, but I ended up, something had me by the tail or something, because I wasn't on the winning end. But you can figure it out. He's had me on my knees lots of times in my life. But that's just part of growing up and learning about Him.
Yeah, that's right. And I think many times and when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness because they had provoked the Lord, And they murmured, and they complained, and they continued to do all those things, and yet the manna fell, just like God said it would, 6 days a week. That's right. Amen. Anybody else? That's right.
And those prayers we offer, the praise we offer, are received in heaven. I think a lot of times we forget what a big thing that is.
It is a huge privilege. That's right.
And I want to be able to offer that to have it be heard.
Right. Amen. Yep. Amen.
Well, we got something to praise God for. A lot of people don't have what we got. I mean, a lot of people don't have what we got. We need to be very thankful every minute, every second of every day, because we got something that a lot of people don't have. And that right there, I mean, there's nothing in the world can mean more to us than what we got. I mean, I'm not saying that we're perfect. We can't do everything right either, because we got this old human nature in
That's
us
right.
to make us, you know, jump the track or run over the fence or whatever. But God is in charge, and if we'll work with him and use his wisdom that he gives us, we can go down this road like we're supposed to. A lot of people do.
Amen. But Jerry?
Everything everybody says, I think we can all understand that, and probably been there in those situations that receive that grace. But the best thing I ever received was his peace that he gave me, my time of sorrow. That I truly believe I felt that piece of understanding that you know, that just special understanding, that just peace that is, I've been so at ease with it.
Yeah. We could probably keep going all night. But already, we see that we all share the same hope, same God, same blessings, but we all have our unique experiences. Yet God is merciful and good and gracious. We can never thank Him enough. But I want to encourage you, brother, to thank Him more. Thank Him more. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll bring glory to His name. It'll probably be a blessing to those around you because you're in a better frame of mind to be a positive influence in this kingdom now. And I tell you, there's a lot of folks around us that need encouragement. We need it from time to time, and we appreciate it when we receive it, don't we? Well, let's be an encourager. Let's be somebody that can be an encourager and a strengthener to others because God has blessed us to know how great He is. All right. Anything else that anybody would like to say before we close out? Right. That's right. I was about to point that out. We could be living in a country where we couldn't assemble like this. That's right.
I can't even comprehend not having, I refer to this like the house of mercy, the house of prayer, the house of the Lord. I can't even comprehend.
comprehend. You know, not. Don't want to.
How can they live without it? I mean, you don't understand. We don't understand how they can live without it.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the story at the Gulf Coast Fellowship meeting this past meeting when, I don't remember who it was that went over to Africa, but he said that every time they would meet to worship, they would walk over 10 miles at least, sit on hard logs, just to sit down and hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can just get in our nice warm cars and drive here and come into a nice warm cozy building and, you know, listen to the word, it's just kind of opens your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Elder Freddie Bowen made that statement many times, having gone to the Philippines and had seen people that had walked for many miles and would sit there and listen as long as you would preach to them. They would sit there and listen and hang on every word. They weren't watching a clock. And they had, in our standards, they had nothing. But God had blessed them to know Him. And God had blessed them with a hunger for the gospel. And Brother Freddie, his point was, when you live among that for a little while, and then you come back home to padded pews and air-conditioned automobiles and fine houses for worship, and people drag in the last minute and complain if the preacher goes beyond 12, and he said it's hard not to get cynical. When you see such a hunger for the word. So, yes, we have every reason to be thankful. And I exhort you to be more thankful. And because the more thankful you are, the more pleased the Lord is. And that's what it's all about.
The better your life's going to be if you do what you're supposed to do right. Then the Lord's going to bless you more. I mean, He can just handle it. You can't handle it by yourself, but He can handle it.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of on the same lines, Jesus, He made to be a servant to us. When you look back at how things were in His ministry, He was walking and preaching.
Right.
And to leave what He had and to come so low and be a servant and suffer that kind of poverty, it really changes the perspective.
Mm-hmm. Certainly does.
Teach us than if you were to go anywhere else. And I appreciate that. So much that of all of us sinners comes just to teach us all of these things. And they said, different sound.